Aren't you glad for God's grace? I know I talked about that petition there. That's what I want those people to have. I want God's grace. Deliverance. It's an empty lifestyle, just like somebody else, whether it's same sex or opposite sex. If that's what you're trying to give you full fulfillment, it's not going to do it. It's just a sweet little thing that God adds on the end of the marriage. Put it in the right place. Otherwise, it's emptiness, foolishness. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. I appreciate you being here this morning. We're going to look in the book of Psalms, if you will. Open the Bible right almost in the middle and find Psalm 130. Again, I appreciate our visitors being here. Thank you for being here this morning. We'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock for evening service. And I hope you'll be here for that. Psalm 130. That's not the time we get out. Don't get, 130. Ha, 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 shaboom. You're not with me this morning. Come on now. All right. Psalm 130. I'm going to read the whole psalm, and then we're going to walk our way through this. Psalm 130 says, "Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning." I say more than they that watch for the morning. "Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities." Let's pray, and I'm going to talk about this topic as we cover this passage this morning. In his word do I hope. In his word do I hope. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for your word and for the putting it in writing, black and white, that we may have it. I'll be honest with you, Lord. I've had so many people tell me in the last 6-8 months things that they've gone through, and their word was, "I don't understand how people can go through things like this without the Lord." And Lord, it's true. Lord, you're not a crutch. You're real. You're a loving Savior. As even the offertory this morning, "And he walks with me and he talks with me, tells me I'm his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known." Lord, I thank you for your presence. Thank you for the hope that we have in your word. Now, Lord, I ask you to speak to our hearts. There are people, I know for a fact that there are people across this room with broken hearts. Some folks have just been going through some dark times. Sometimes they've been going through some dark times with someone they love. But there's a lot of things going across the building. Folks who just need some hope. And Lord, I thank you so much there's hope because there's Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts here this morning. Give us exactly what each one of us need. It may be just a 30-second point, one little nugget, but Lord, if that's what it takes for us to be able to rise in faith and walk through life, Lord, Lord, give us what we need here this morning, and we'll give the praise in Christ's name. Amen. It is fine to talk about hope. And a lot of folks, well, it's fine, go ahead and talk about hope, but that's good for those good people. But what about us regular folk? I don't know if you've ever been there. You think, well, they talk about hope, that's fine and dandy, but I'm not sure I have any. I'm not sure I should have any. Why should I have any hope that God is going to do anything for me? I tried that a few times, and I could see that it wasn't going to work, at least not for me. So I decided to take things into my own hands. Of course, that only made things worse. What in the world am I supposed to do? If you knew all that was in my past and how far I've taken myself down, you would stop teasing me with this thought of hope. I'm long past hope. You'd be surprised how many people have come to that point in life. I'm long past hope. Been too long, too much, too far. I want you to look at this passage with me. We're just going to walk through it. And I want you to see, number one, my problem. I put it, made it personal, and I want you to kind of think about it, write it down. And if you are one to take notes, you can say it that way for your own sake. My problem, your problem, my problem. Verse number one says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. Verse 1 says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. It says, I'm not quite keeping my head above water here, Lord. I remember when I was about, 7 or 8, we started taking swimming lessons. We grew up in Hampstead, Manchester, Maryland area, and they had the Manchester pool, and they'd give swimming lessons, and we went up and took swimming lessons. My mom said, I don't want you drowning in somebody's pond, so you can at least learn how to paddle. And so we went up and took some swimming lessons. And I'm kind of built like a rock. So, you know, I'm trying to keep my head above water. And I, you know, and it's kind of coming down on you, you know, just trying to, you know. Then the gal came along. What you need to do is relax and trust me, and I'll float you. And as soon as you start to fight, we got to relax and trust me. Have you ever been at that place in life where you just feel like, I'm not, my eyes are above water, I can see where I'm supposed to be, but I think I'm going under. It says, out of the depths, the deep, I'm low. And I'm not sure I've ever been this low for this long. Doesn't say what the problem is here. And I think he did that. I think the Lord did that on purpose. Because my problem might not be your problem, might not be David's problem, or they ever, you know, we all have different issues. It may be financial, it might be the marriage, it might be the family, it might be a lot of things going on. I don't know what it might be. You know what it is. Lord, just put it in your heart there. But here you are, just trying to breathe. And we say, Lord, hear my voice. Are you listening? Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. And I'm really hoping God will hear and will do something about this. He's my hope, and if God doesn't do something, I think I'm a dead man. I think I have nothing left but Him to hope in. And I think one reason why it doesn't tell us what the problem was is because it doesn't matter what the problem is. God's still bigger than the problem. And God's still there. So we got a problem. Number two, I got a predicament. You ever have a predicament? Fun. That's a fun word to say. Predicament. It's kind of being between a rock and a hard place. Catch 22. I know there's an issue. Something needs to be done. But I think there's a wall that's going to stop. Look at verse 3. He says, out of the depths, verse 1 says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. And then it's like, oh yeah. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, who shall stand? Do you ever get on your knees and pray, and about that time, it's like the Holy Spirit kind of brings something across your brain. You said, and the fact is, then the old devil says, yeah, you got that in your life. Like God's going to hear you. You know what you did last week and last year? And you know, this is the 15th time you sunk this low. Old Satan says, God doesn't want to hear you. The Holy Spirit said, now the sin between you and God we need to take care of. Satan says, there's sin between you and God, and so you might as well give up. There's a difference. Satan loves to give you a part truth. He's the kind of guy that would do the first half of Romans 6:23. The wage of sin is death. Ha, 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 ha. You're a dead man. But doesn't finish, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says, if thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquity. That word mark means to hold on to protect, to gather up, to keep account of all my sins so you can bring them up again sometime. Lord, if you start counting sins, who in the world is ever going to be able to stand before you? Who in the world has the right to come before you and bring their petitions, their supplications, their requests to you? You've heard me tell the old story about the guy, his husband, went into a counselor, and he said, the problem with my wife is every time we have a fight, she gets historical. He said, well, don't you mean hysterical? No, historical. She brings up everything I've ever done in my life. Satan will do the same thing. Now, be honest with you, the Holy Spirit does the same thing. But he brings it up and says, why don't you confess and then forsake your sin, shall have mercy. Satan says, nah, God doesn't want you. Just give it up. By the way, folks, true love does not get historical, because true love forgives. And once it's forgiven, let it go. Let it go. But he said, Lord, if you start marking iniquity, who in the world's going to stand? So what he's doing, he's acknowledging his sin. He says, you know that I really don't have the right to even be calling on you, God. I know I'm here and I'm about ready to go under. I'm gurgling, I'm going down for the third time, you know, the old cartoons, you know, here we go. I'm going down. But he says, if you start taking account of the wrong that I've done, there's no way I have the right to even be talking to you, much less ask for help. See, I got a problem. And I got a predicament because my sin is standing in the way of the answer to my problem. Number three, I got a promise. I've got a promise. Look at verse 4. But there is forgiveness with thee. Now, don't put limitations on his forgiveness. There's no time restraint. There's no contract that says you got to do it. Listen, you know when we got to do it? Before we die. So there's no time restraint. You say, well, there's no maximum number of forgivenesses that he'll give us. We confess our sins, confess it as ours, confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means cleaned up, cleans the slate. Look at it that way. Cleans the slate. Well, look, God did not create us to get rid of us. Now think on that a little bit. God did not create us to show who he is and throw his weight around so he could get rid of us and send us to hell. He created us to have a relationship with us. God wants to hang on to us if at all possible. We know that's true because he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for us. Now that's a pretty high cost. God wants to hang on to us so much that he is willing to keep forgiving our sins. How do I know that? Because he has already died for all our sins, even the ones we have not yet committed. They were all laid on him on the cross 2,000 years ago. If he didn't pay for the one you're going to do next week, there was no sense in paying for the one you did last month. Break the law at one point, you're guilty of all. He had to pay for them all. Psalm 30, verse 8 says this, I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood when I go down to the pit? Shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? This is what he's saying. Lord, be honest with you, if no other reason, I know you want me to bring glory to you, so just killing me kind of defeats the purpose. Throw me in the pit defeats the purpose. And in fact, he knew that we were going to mess up when he created us. He knew that we were going to mess up before the foundation of the world because he decided already, because Jesus was going to die and pay for the sins, our sins, before the foundation of the world, he made that decision. Esther just had a baby, and I was telling him in Sunday school, I said, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And right before Sunday school, she plays the piano for our opening hymn, and it was 9:30, and she wasn't around. She's usually sitting right there ready. So I went over to the nursery, and sure enough, that's where she was, and she was with little Joanna. She says he just exploded. And, what are you going to do? You got to do. So one of our ladies very, very graciously took care of Joanna while Esther came in and played the piano. Here's my point. When you decided to have a baby, you decided to change diapers. If you didn't, you weren't thinking. Right? I've said this to you before. When you decided to have kids, you decided, I forgive you for the rest of your life. If not, don't bother having kids because they're going to mess up. They got their sin from you, you know. So remember all those things, you know, and your mom said, I hope you have one just like you when you grow up. And you did. He says there's forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. He says, I want to show myself through you. But if I just throw you away, then I lose the opportunity. So I don't really have any choice but to make it possible for you to come back to me. And that's when he sent his son to die on the cross for us. Listen, watch. You know what we think? I want to hope in the promises of God. But then I remember my sinfulness and I think, why should God help me? I'm such a mess, such a loser, such a sinner. I do right for a little while and then I foul out again. But then I remember that there's not one of us that would stand if God starts counting sins. And then I remember God's forgiveness that he promises in his word, and that gives me hope. His word gives me hope because of the promises. I can take God's word on this now. Because I can hope in the forgiveness of God, I want to show you something else here. Number four. So we got the problem, the predicament, the promise, and watch this. Now, my process. The process of hope, the process of hope. I thought that's a noun or it's a verb, but it's a process. Look at verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. I am hoping. The word hope means a confident expectation. I know it's going to happen. I haven't seen it yet, but I've got it. It's going to happen because God's given me his word. Now, if he's given me his word and nothing's happening right now, what do I need to do? Wait! You know what we do? We go out and find some other thing. Well, it doesn't look like he's going to do anything, so let me find something else. I remember a lady by the name of Sarah. You couldn't have any. He said, you're going to have a baby. Well, I'm 90 years old. You know, I'm getting to be an old lady here. You know, I'm 80 years old, whatever it is. You know, by the time she had Ishmael. Well, I'll tell you what, Abraham. I've got a young maid here who helped serve me. Why don't you go in? I own her, so if I own her, she has a baby, I own the baby. So we'll call the baby ours. You realize if she hadn't done that, we wouldn't probably have most of the terrorism that's going on in America right now. That's good as truth. Ishmael was going to be a wild man against all men and all men against him.
That's what it said.
All because she couldn't wait. God had given his word. And instead of hoping and putting a confident expectation of what he was going to do, I mean, they even had angels show up. Well, the process. He says, I wait, verse 5. That word, now watch this. That word wait is an interesting little word. It means bound together, twisted into one rope. In other words, I'm putting all my confidence in these other elements of what God's putting in here. I'm going to wind myself up and be part of that whole one thing, fully made one with, thus with full expectation. He says, I'm hanging onto the rope of God's promises, and I'm not letting go. I am fully entwined with God. There's no separating us now. We are in this together, the Lord and I. Now it's just Jesus and me for each tomorrow. For every heartache and every sorrow, I know that I can depend upon my newfound friend. And so to the end, it's Jesus and me. You folks never heard that. You young folks didn't hear that. But that's an oldie. Yeah. It's just Jesus and me. We're all wound up together. I'm in this. I'm not coming out. It says, listen, I wait for the Lord. And he says again, my soul doth wait. And in his word do I hope. In other words, to wait patiently with confident expectation, trusting the source of our hope for the proper outcome. God has given me his word, the promises, the directives of what I'm supposed to be doing during the promises, the encouragement, the guidance, the light for my path. That is what I'm hanging on to, not some feeling or the word of somebody else. In fact, Janet and I were driving, we went out for lunch. We usually go out for lunch on Thursday, and that's kind of my day off. And we were listening to the radio, and this guy was preaching, and I think it was sometime this weekend. And he said all these things are wonderful things, but used, I mean, blessed little scripture to back it up. Now, he's a very good speaker, but the fact is, if I didn't already know the Bible, if I wasn't already pretty biblically literate, I would have gone home on his word on it, not God's word on it. And that his word starts to fade a little bit. And what if he falls a little bit? All of a sudden, what was the foundation of my word, of the word that I was trusting in, falls out. And what I've been building my life on breaks down. God has given me his word. Verse 6, my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. I'm sorry, every time I read that verse, I think of Falkhorn Leghorn. I say son. It's the way my brain just works. It's my soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Now, he said, look what he says, I am just as sure that the word of God is true, and thus what I'm hoping of in is good, it's going to work. I am just as sure the word of God is true, and the promises are true, and it's just a matter of waiting for the Lord's timing. In his time, he makes all things beautiful in his time. Listen, in his time, for the promise to come to be. He says, I'm just as sure as that, as I am sure that the sun's going to come up tomorrow morning. Even if the sun's behind the clouds and I can't see it, it's there. I know the answer is there, and thus I have hope, and I wait until the answer comes, and I have God's word on it. It might seem like a long night. You ever have one of those long nights and just not feeling well? You toss and you turn and this and that, and oh, my soul, and you look at the clock and 2 minutes going by. There's been times when I've been sick. You're tired, you're beat, you can't hardly hold your eyes open, and yet you almost be glad when the morning comes. And you know the morning's going to come. Hold on, my son, joy comes in the morning. He says, I'm waiting for the Lord. I don't know when it's going to come, but it's going to come just as sure as the sun's going to rise tomorrow morning. It's going to come. Verse 7, let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord, there is mercy. And with him is plenteous redemption. And he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Now watch me. We have a problem. I don't know what your problem is. Doesn't matter. God's bigger than your problem. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But we got a predicament and we all know it. Chances are we've all been there sometime in our life. Maybe you're all confessed and clean right now and you're just looking back, praise the Lord. That's fine. But chances are there's folks in here that you've had some stuff going on in your life you know shouldn't have been there. And as long as you've been there, the darker it's gotten. You got a predicament, though, because you know your sin. And if you're honest with yourself, and I think if most people are honest with, they try to be honest with themselves, I'm a sinner, I have no right to go before God. But he has a promise. There's forgiveness with the Lord. We can hope in his mercy. In fact, he has given us his word on it. Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. You're not going to get anywhere. But he that confesseth and forsaketh shall have mercy. He says, all right, I'll have mercy. Let's fix this thing. Let's fix this thing. And the process, take the promise and wait on it. Just keep doing what God has told you to do in the meantime. Why do I carry all the weight of the world on my shoulders when the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah, the self-existing one, the God of all creation, the one I am that I am, when he is my God, he's my God. Why do I carry the weight of the world? I will tell you why. Because I can't see God helping me when I'm in such a mess, such a sinner, such an ingrate, such a selfish sinner. Listen, the reason I can still hope is because God is still merciful. Look what it says in verse 7. He's merciful, there's mercy, and plenteous redemption. I love that. There's plenteous redemption. Has anybody ever felt that there was something in your life and you asked God's forgiveness, you feel like he forgave you? Raise your hand. Let me say it this way. There's plenty more where that came from. That's what he said. There's plenty more where that came from. Plenteous redemption. There's not one person outside of the grace of God, outside of his forgiveness, outside of what he did on the cross 2,000 years ago. There's plenteous salvation to go around. There might be somebody in this room. I don't know about you, but I always felt like, when I was a kid, I thought everybody else was saved but me. I thought everybody else had it straightened out but me. I don't know about you, but I got to the point where I thought, well, I wonder if he has enough to go around for me. Will he save me? I mean, everybody else, they've got everything all together. I'm the one that's always messed up. When I found out, nobody has it all together. And the people who think they have it all together obviously don't have it all together, because if they had it all together, they know they don't have it all together. Don't ask me to say that again. There's plenty of redemption. There's plenty of salvation to go around. There's plenty of grace to pay for our sins. God can deliver any and all of us. God has not and does not run out of forgiveness. And the blood is not limited in atoning sin. Jesus is the propitiation for not our sins only, but the sin of the whole world. And by the way, we're part of the world. I'm almost done. You can't imagine that, can you? That means this. It means that God has already paid for all your sins. Now think this through with me. God has already paid for all your sins. And thus there is nothing standing in the way of you having his forgiveness, except your unwillingness to come for it. Thus, he imputes to us, puts on us his righteousness, and thus being clean before God, not that we're perfect, but seeing justified clean before him, we're clean before God, and thus we have no sin between us and God, stopping his blessings and his protection and his direction, except our own pride and our own refusal to accept the work of God in our life. There's nothing stopping it. It's all cared for. There's no one stopping it but us. Now, I'll tell you what old Satan does. He says, nah, he won't forgive you. Who do you think you are? You think God loves you. You think God even knows who you are. Don't think me a heretic, but last week or two here, I just decided I was going to read through the Quran one more time. I got some things I'm going to share with you down the road here. But you know what? That is a very, what's the word I'm looking for? Hopeless religion. And God is just this arbitrary guy that says, you know, I like you. You get to go where you have running streams. I'm not so... If you like to be a trout, if you're a trout fisher, maybe you're like Islam, because he keeps talking about the running streams in heaven. But anyway, but if he decides he doesn't like you, he'll just send you to hellfire. It doesn't matter. God, it's just the way he is. It's Calvinistic, to be honest with you. It really is. Amazing. God's not like that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. By the way, they say that God has no begotten son over and over and over again through that book. Don't tell me that their God has a begotten son. He has no son. Anyone who says he has a son is an infidel. An infidel should be killed. You read through the book, that's the gist of it. But God gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know what that means? I have hope. You have hope. There's hope. There's hope. There's hope. There's hope. There's a confident expectation of the deliverance and the blessing of God. And I have God's word on it. And in his word do I hope, the passage says. Verse 5. The reason many people, now listen to me. The reason many people have no hope is because they don't believe and trust in God. Psalm 42, Psalm 43, go back and look at it sometime. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. Well, I went to the church and took and holy day and went through all this stuff. Yeah, but do you hope in God? No, they pumped me up. Yeah, but do you hope in God? Listen, you can go to a ball game and get pumped up. You can go to a concert and get pumped up. But that's not the hope I need. When it's all said and done, my life's falling apart, I need something more than winning a World Series game. The reason many people have no hope is because they don't believe and trust in God. If people truly trusted in God, and God is always right, always loves, and can do anything that needs to be done, and his eyes are running to and fro throughout the whole world, looking to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him, there's nothing for us to fear. What we have is hope, because people do not believe in God, or at least in his character. They don't believe in his word, and thus they do not believe the promises contained in God's word. If they do not believe in the promises of God, they have nothing in which to hope but themselves or some other human, which they know in their heart will fail them eventually. We need to be right with God and await on the Lord. The Lord's promises are just as sure as the sun is coming up in the morning. I know I hate this. You hear it already?
The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun.
But I'm not talking about some optimistic view. Not some empty optimism. I'm talking about the promises of God in His Word, do I hope. Father, thank you for speaking to us here this morning. Thank you for doing a work. Now, Lord, there's a lot of folks in here. I know that there's folks in here who've been down, have been down before. Sometimes maybe they're down right now. They're in the depths. They feel like they got to stick their head up there just to get enough air to breathe as they kind of go under again for the 15th time. Lord, I want to encourage them to hope in you. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. Just keep knowing that word, finding the promises, going through the Psalms, through the Proverbs, the other promises. Faith in you, trust in your character, and then waiting for you and not going out scheme and making things worse than they were before. I know sometimes we think you're not going to show up, but Lord, we know that you're an on-time God. You're an on-time God. You're there. Even when you're 4 days late, you were on time. Ask old Lazarus. Thank you. We need to wait on you. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to the hearts of the people here. I know that there's people in here that need this morning. And where they come to the altar, where they do it right where they are, Lord, I pray that they will come to you in their heart this morning. Our heads are bowed.